To continue our discussion of the Song of Solomon in the context of how husbands and wives ought to treat each other. Now open your Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. We have taught chapters 1 and 2. Tonight I plan to go down through the first 5 or 6 verses of chapter number 3. I'm going to read for you now, verses 1 through 5, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Before I read, let me say this. You understand that there may be some typical teaching here. There may be that the relationship between the bride and the groom would have some kind of typical teaching as concerning the relationship of Christ and His people. Now, we don't know that's true. It's a dangerous thing to play around too much with types. The only way you can know that something in the Old Testament is a type of Jesus is if there's a New Testament reference to it. For example, we know that the serpent in the wilderness was the symbol of Jesus because it says so in John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And then on to verse 16, John 3:16. We know that's a type. Likewise, we know that it's the type of Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection when Jonah went down into the belly of the fish. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, as He was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, even so much the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. We know that according to Hebrews that the tabernacle is a figure of the heavenly tabernacle. But I cannot tell you that the Song of Solomon is a type of Jesus and His people. There may be something there. I don't know. Since the Bible doesn't say it, I don't say it. But we may get to heaven and find out there's a type there. So the main thing I want you to get about Song of Solomon is not a doctrinal thing. I want you to learn how to behave yourself towards your wife and towards your husband. And that's what I'm teaching. Now in the first verse of Song of Solomon chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. Her husband had been gone. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. Streets meaning neighborhoods, broadways meaning the downtown busy streets. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city, that's the policemen, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but little that I passed from them, but I found Him, whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house. She must be mad at him. She was taking him to see his mother-in-law. There are a few things in the Bible I don't agree with, folks. And into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor wake my love till He please. We'll spend most of our time on these 5 verses tonight. Our Heavenly Father, these are precious verses, and I'm afraid that most of the theologians have gone down so deep trying to find what's not here, they've totally bypassed what is here. Here is a young bride and a young groom that love each other and treat each other as they ought to be treated, and help us to get the simplicity and yet the simple profundity of this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Holy Father, we come to the Holy Book to discuss a holy relationship. Bless us as we do, please. Amen. Let me, before I start off on this passage tonight, first, are you too warm tonight? You're kind of, how many are comfortable? Is your hand? How many are too warm? Too cool? All right, looks like we're about half too hot, half too cold. Nobody's just right. And that's scriptural. There are several theories about the Song of Solomon, and this is the word of you. The one that most Bible teachers believe is what we call the Shepherd's Theory. and I'll not go into it deeply except to give you a little outline of it. The shepherd's theory simply says that there was a young lady who was in love with a shepherd lad. And this shepherd lad was in love with her. They married each other. But somewhere in there, either in the courtship or after that marriage, somewhere in there, Solomon saw this beautiful young lady. And he wanted her for his harem. He came to her and asked her if she would marry him, the king now, if she would marry him. And she said, no, I'm in love with my shepherd boy. But Solomon said, you don't understand this, what I can do for you. I'll bring you to the palace and you'll be my wife. She said, doesn't matter. I'm in love with my shepherd boy. He said, now, wait a minute now. I can give you the finest wardrobe in the entire land. She said, doesn't matter. They wear what I have and be with my shepherd boy. Solomon said, I understand it. I can give you the finest jewelry and the finest of everything, the finest house, the finest furnishings, finest of everything. She said, I'd rather have my shepherd boy. Now, if there is a type here, it's a picture of Jesus, the good shepherd. And the devil comes and says, I'll give you a lot of things, but I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And if there's a type, that's what the type is. But that's not what we're studying about. We're studying about how a husband and wife should treat each other. Our country is falling apart because of the deterioration of the home. No doubt about it. And the home is deteriorating because of the deterioration of marriage. Now, we've been discussing, this is the fourth lesson I think we've had, we've been discussing the proper relationship that a husband and wife should have with each other. As we find the kind of relationship that this shepherd lad had with his bride, this beautiful Shunammite girl. Now, in the third chapter of the Song of Solomon, we start off, and I want you to notice, I want you to use your Bible with me tonight because we're going to read these verses several times with a different thought. I want you to notice the first thing is that the love between a husband and wife should be first a soul love. Look at verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now wait a minute. She didn't say I sought him that turns me on. She didn't say I sought him that really is cute. She didn't say I saw him that really is a knockout. No, she said I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now you find the same statement in verse number 2. It says, I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and the broadways, and I will seek him whom my soul loveth. That is again. Look at verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Now in every one of these first three verses, and included in verse 4, the same statement. Look at verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Now look at me and let me talk to you about that for a minute. Young people, I wish you'd listen carefully. College students, I wish you'd listen carefully. Before you ever love anybody physically or romantically, you ought to be in love with their soul. Solomon, the young lady said in the Song of Solomon, him who I saw him whom my soul loveth. Now, I want to say this, and follow me very carefully, and don't giggle about this or snicker. Physical love should not be able to function alone. Let me say it again. And I'm going to define it a little bit more clearly later. Physical love should not be able to function alone. I'm saying the thing, and I don't know how to word this, the thing that stirs you physically for physical romance should first be an attraction to the soul of that person. The physical love should get permission from the soul. Nobody has a right to love physically that doesn't love in the soul. And before physical love is enjoyed between a husband and wife, there should be a purchase order, as it were, a permission slip signed by the soul saying it's okay now. This old world is so sick. It's just so sick of lust and sensuality. And you look at a woman half clothed or not clothed at all, and boy, that really stirs you physically. Well, that's not Bible love. The thing that God wants us to do is not to allow ourselves to be attracted physically for romance until the soul gives permission for that romance to take place. Now, we've seen four times, whom my soul loveth. Now, that's not as deep as you think it is. Let me explain what I mean. There are three parts of a person. Man was made in the image of God, God being Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, sit straight, look this way, and listen to me now. Man, likewise, was made a threefold creature. You're looking tonight at a body. You are listening to a soul, and today I fellowship with God through my spirit. So my body is that which you see. My soul is that which enables me to communicate with you. My spirit is that which enables me to communicate with God. Now what it really means here, and I wish I could make it more spiritual, but this is what it means. It means you shouldn't love anybody till you like them. Exactly what it means. It means the first attraction ought not to be physical attraction. It ought to be personality attraction and character attraction. So when this little lady said, whom my soul loveth, what she's saying is, I like the guy. It's no big, giant kind of a spooky thing. It simply says, I like him. I am attracted to him, his personality. I'm attracted to his character. I'm attracted to what he is, not what he looks like, or what she is, and not what she looks like. Now, I will tell you something. We, Fundamental Baptists, have fallen prey to the world's concept. For example, you know, I don't like the term falling in love. I don't like that. I like the term jumping in love a lot better. I don't like the term falling in love. But you go to Howells Ernst College and somebody says, well, I like to get her. She sure is cute. You got a hole in your head big enough to drive a truck through. You don't ever have to have brain surgery. I'd like to date her because she's cute. That's as worldly as smoking marijuana. Boy, he's a dream boat. You have those boats that'll sink when they get bigger. He's a dream boat. I'm saying that's carnal. That's as carnal as cursing is. For, now don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with being attracted to someone's physical beauty. Second. I was reading again in Ezekiel, where the Bible says concerning Ezekiel's wife, it says she was the desire of his eyes. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a person, a young man, wanting to have a young lady that when he looks across the breakfast table, he doesn't have to throw up. There's nothing wrong with that. You heard about the gal that was real ugly, but she could sing, and they got married, and woke up next morning. He looked at her and said, sing quick. Now, I happen to be married to a beautiful woman, and I trust that you think the same thing. I don't mean that you think I'm married to a beautiful woman, that you think you're married to a beautiful woman. But I think Mrs. Hiles is a lovely lady. I'm talking about she's attractive. But that's not the first thing. This gal said four times in chapter 3 verse 1, chapter 3 verse 2, and chapter 3 verse 3, and chapter 3 verse 4, whom my soul loveth. Now, I want you to notice she didn't say whom my spirit loveth. The spirit is that which is born again, the spirit, and that's all right. But this particular statement, she said, I love this guy and what he is. I love his personality. I love his manner. I love his behavior. I love his character. I love what he is. Now you listen to me. These gals, a lot of them that are gorgeous creatures, don't look real good with a burned meal in front of them and a dirty house that they haven't kept because they've been too busy putting makeup on all day long. They won't look near as good. You know, I like for somebody to come. Okay, we're sitting in my office in the waiting room. We're going to have a wedding. I'm talking to the groom about the courtship. And the first question I always ask the groom is, when did you first see her? I don't mean there, but when did you first see her? And they'll say, I saw her in the dining hall, or I saw her at school, or I saw her when I was in grade school first time. And then I said, what caused you to feel that she just might be the one? Every once in a while, fellas say, first time I saw her, I knew she was the one. Now, that never impresses me. You never have a careful conversation with her? You know whether she's easy to get along with or not? You know whether she's unselfish or not? You just knew she's the one because you saw her. I tell you what I like, and this is just an example, but a fellow not long ago said, and this has happened often, he said, I worked on the same bus route with this girl, and I saw how she loved those bus kids, and oftentimes this is said, and I was impressed the way she loved those bus kids, and the way she cared for those bus kids. And that was the first thing that impressed me. That's what this is talking about. Whom my soul loveth. I love her gentleness. I love her kindness. I love her unselfishness. I love her manner. I love her demeanor. I don't mean she's getting demeanor all the time either. I love her demeanor. Some of you guys were about to say amen there for a while. But that's what she's saying here. My soul loves. And again, it's not a deeply spiritual like my spirit loves. It's not physical like my body loves. It is, I like her. I like him. I often say this. Would you want your daughter to date him? Or somebody exactly like him? I don't know how many couples I've broken up with that question. Almost broke up with the Colston, Miss Colston, with that very question. Would you want your daughter to date someone, or better still, would you want a son like him? Or would you want a daughter like her? Well, boy, I tell you what, I just flip every time I see her. It'd be better to flip every time you talk to her. Boy, and I just one look at her and she turns me on. One conversation with her might be better to turn you on. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not saying you ought to go out and look at somebody as ugly as a mud fence. I'm not saying that at all. Well, I don't know if a mud fence is ugly or not. Or, as Hal says, ugly as homemade sin. I don't know what a homemade sin is. But I'm not saying you ought to marry somebody that's got one tooth and it's 3 feet long. I'm not saying you ought to do that at all. But I'm saying that beauty should be a part of choosing a wife, but it ought to be the second thing on the list. That's all. Well, we're not getting hyper-spiritual here now, saying, fall on your face and beg God to give you the right one. Now, that's a part of it, but that's not what this is talking about right here. This gal is saying, I like this fella. I like his personality. I like his kindness. I like his behavior. I like his gentleness. I like his demeanor. I like the way he behaves himself in public. He's just the kind of guy that I like. My soul, that which communicates with other people, my soul likes him. My soul loves him. Four times she said that. All right, now, what is this soul love? Now, I want to teach you something here. What is this soul of? I'm going to skip over to chapter 4 and verse 9. Look at it, please. Chapter 4 and verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse, Do you see that? He's calling his bride his sister. You think the guy married his sister? No guy, nobody's that dumb. Nobody will marry a stubborn rascal like that. No, but he said, my sister, my spouse. Look down to verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. Look at verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Now, what am I saying here? What is this soul love? Now, hear me carefully. This soul love is a love that starts with her being the kind of a person you'd like to have as a sister. Now, this guy wasn't physically the brother of this gal, nor was she his sister. But and by the way, I want you to notice this. The word sister comes before the word spouse. Every time. Sister's the first word. Four times it's my sister, my spouse. One time it's my sister, my love. So what is it saying here? It is simply saying that you ought to love her you ought to choose her on the basis of what kind of qualities that she has that would cause you won't live in the same house with her. Now let me stop and say this. When it comes to sisters, I have the best. When it comes to wives, I have the best. But when it comes to sisters, we're talking about sisters right now, I have the best. If I were single, what's that song? I wish I were single again. I don't wish that, but I'm in a I was just thinking. If I were single, I would be attracted by a personality like Earlene Stevens. Sometimes say, now, Earlene was older than I, 25 years older than I. No, she's 8 years my senior. Now, when she got married, young. I think she was 17 when she got married. 17 or 18. It's not here. Say what I want to. Now, if you'll just leave, I'll just say anything I want to. Now, if what I think he's saying here is that you ought to be attracted to somebody that, you grew up in the same house with your sister. Now, what would you want in a sister? Look at me now. Basically, that's what you are going to live in the same house with your wife. So he said, my soul loves him, which means I like him. And then he said, she's I'm like his sister, and he's like my brother. Now, that's what the soul loving is. Now, I want to say this. Don't you marry somebody, fellas, that you wouldn't want for a sister. And don't you marry somebody, girls, that you wouldn't want for a brother. Now look, if you just can't get along without that pretty face, get a picture of him. Put it on the mantle and marry some guy that's easy to get along with. Who's ugly as mud fence. What my daughter Cindy did. Well, not a fence, just one rail in the fence, but... So,
The lady said, my soul loves him, in verse 1 of chapter 3. Next verse, whom my soul loveth. Verse 2, verse 3, my soul loveth. Verse 4, my soul loveth. And then enlarging on that just a little bit, says, she's like my sister. So, get the order, sister and then spouse, not spouse and sister. Choose somebody that is pleasant to be with, somebody that's not selfish, somebody's not always thinking about herself or himself, somebody who's unselfish, somebody who's kind, somebody who's gentle, somebody who has manners. Let me just be quite frank with you, girls. Check and see if he let you go first. I see some of you folks coming across from get out of your cars, and a fellow's 6 feet in front of his wife. She's tagging along behind. Chastos are carrying 4 kids. Plus the diaper bag. Now, look, how does he, by the way, you might check and see how he treats his sister. Because after he's lived with you a while, that's the way he's going to treat you. And you better find out how she treats her brother. Because after you've been married a while, that's probably the way she's going to treat you. So, the soul love should come before the physical love, and the lack should come before the passionate love, and the sister love should come before the spouse love. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 16. Throws more light on this soul loving. His mouth is most sweet. Now, nothing wrong with that. She's saying, I like to kiss him. Kissing's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'd like to say to you, Howells Nursing College students, we're going to start letting you kiss each other. I'd like to say it, but I'm not going to say it. I just like to say it. But nothing wrong with that. When you're married, nothing wrong with it. It's amazing. Couples get married up here and they kiss for the first time up here. And they really, it's really embarrassing. Makes you want to make them rehearse. I mean, it really does. Here's this beautiful ceremony and the candles are lovely and the flowers are beautiful and the music is beautiful. All the attendants in there and all, everything looks so formal. And the kiss looks like a couple of 3-year-old kids. But here's something very interesting. They kiss, they walk out that aisle. I'll give the plan of salvation or something at the end of the wedding, and they're out there about 10 minutes. When they come back in, have you ever noticed how they have learned how to kiss? I mean, that reenacting the ceremony kiss is a booger, I'll tell you for sure. So I'm not against kissing. It says his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Now, good looking. Nothing wrong with that. I get this now. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. What is it? What is it that soul love? Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Next verse. I'm seeking him whom my soul loveth. Next verse. Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Where is him whose my soul loveth? And what is that soul love? That soul love is lacking in. It is it's kind of love that a brother and a sister should want for each other that develops into the romantic love, and it must be built on friendship. Your best friend ought to be your wife. And your best friend ought to be your husband. I'm saying, if you do not, listen, some of you gals and guys, you send out to college and high school, and you're always fussing at each other and fuming at each other, and she's in a good mood if her hair is pretty, which means she's never in a good mood. But I've never been in a good mood if my hair had been pretty. But I want to say that you better be sure that you're friends. Now then, I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 1 again, please. Of chapter 3. By night on my bed, I sought him. Now what does it mean? That means she thought of him when she was alone. While she was in bed, he was gone. While she was in bed, her mind was on him. Her mind wasn't watching some whore on television. Her mind wasn't watching some stupid soap opera or some sorry satanic talk show. She was laying in bed thinking about him. And then it said, I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now I want you to notice this. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, in the broadways, and I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Okay, she goes, knocks on the door. She says, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? How would you feel if somebody knocked on your door? Well, who does your soul love, dummy? She didn't even call his name. She told these perfect strangers that she was loved it. She was in love. And she told these perfect strangers, she said, my soul loves this fella. Have you seen him my soul loves? Everybody who loves somebody ought to be telling folks they love each other. Let folks know about it. Oh, yes, say Brother Hiles. It's disgusting. Well, disgust people then. She in the streets and the broadways, I will seek him in my soul. I love verse 3. The watchman, that's the policeman. She walked up to the policeman and said, have you seen him, my soul lover? Well, how did he know? She just wanted him to want the policeman to know that she loved this guy. You know what? Everybody in town ought to know you love your husband. And you ought to broadcast it. She broadcast it in the streets, the broadways, told the police department that she loved the guy whom my soul loved. Look down to verse number 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, and I found him in my soul lover. I held him, would not let him go until I brought him to my mother's house and into the chamber that her conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that she told the neighbors she loved him. She told the people in the street she loved him. She told the people downtown she loved him. She told the policeman that she loved him. And she told the other ladies in the city that she loved him. Well, I just don't believe in being gushy in public. We'll change. Don't misunderstand. Don't you sit out there and hug each other right now. I'm not talking about making a fool of yourself at church. I'm talking about holding hands walking down the street. I'm talking about telling people that you know that you love her, that you love it. Let it be known that you love each other. Now, I like this very, very much. I mentioned the policeman a while ago, the watchman of the city. Okay, look at chapter 5 and verse 7. The watchman that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. It didn't mean I'm sick of love. It means I'm lovesick. I'm just absolutely lovesick. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that she went up down the street. Have you seen him, my soul lover? And the policeman got fed up with it and even struck her. Do you know that people ought to be... Your love for your wife ought to be a little disgusting to everybody. Cindy made a statement long ago. She said, Mom and Dad are disgusting. That's what we were having a fight, and Cindy saw it. No, we weren't having to laugh when I say that, folks. Now, the honest truth is, we were on a cruise. I love to see those old people, 70 years old and so forth. I mean, you'd see an old guy. She was holding him up. But they were smooching. I saw couples I knew 85 and 90 years of age. Looked like they were just on a honeymoon. And that's the way it ought to be. His house and I went to Hawaii. We got on the airplane in Atlanta, Georgia, to fly to Hawaii, and the pilot came out and said, y'all on the honeymoon? I mean, look, I was 69. She was 35. Are y'all on the honeymoon? Five different people ask us if we're on a honeymoon on a trip to Hawaii. How long has it been since anybody asked you that? When you folks 20 years old, it's like you're celebrating your 50th anniversary. Now, what am I saying? I don't know. I am saying that though you ought not to be disgusting and certainly ought not to be crude in your expression of your love in public, no people that love each other ought to be ashamed to let people publicly know they love each other. Now, I think it ought to extend into the home, behind the four walls, but I think it also ought to extend out of the home. I think there ought to be a public expression of it. I think that people, it ought to be obvious to people that you and your wife love each other. I think there ought to be the holding of hands on occasion. I think there ought to be a tender embrace, a pat on the back or something. And I don't think it'd be wrong for you ladies to go to the mess and talk about how wonderful your husband is. You go to the circle meeting. I don't know what's going on, but you go to the circle meeting. It wouldn't be wrong for you to say to your ladies, you know, I just sitting here thinking, I got the best husband in the whole world. They're just jealous, that's all. This gal said, he's my best friend. I'm his sister first. My soul loves him. What I'm saying basically is this, and I'll be through. The first thing that ought to attract you about that person is that person's manner of life and way of life. I made this statement, I think I made it last Sunday. Bill Burr, we're... Did you get my point, Ms. Burr? We were flying over to the Philippines, and I was writing Ms. Howes a poem. And Bill Burr said, would you write my wife a poem for me? He said, I'm not a poet. Would you write my wife a poem for me? And I wrote Mrs. Burr a poem. And it was about an evangelist and his wife traveling together and all the miles they traveled and how much he loved her and appreciated her and so forth and so on. And then Bill Burr said this to me. He said this to all of us could hear. He said, if my wife and I were on an island alone, that's all she'd need would be me. He said, I'm fully convinced that my wife would be happy alone on an island just with me. That's Bill Burr talking. That's 300-pound Bill Burr. That's jovial, happy-go-lucky Bill Burr. That's the fellow who, when he was frisked by a man at the Manila airport, he said, do it again. It feels good. Do it again. That's Bill Burr. But there wasn't anybody on that trip that wondered what Bill Burr thought about that woman back there. Nobody. He told us how cantankerous that she is at home. I'll be honest with you. Anybody on that trip knew that Bill Burr loves that woman back there and that she loves him. And that's what it ought to be. So this gal walked out in the street and said, hey, have you seen him, my soul lover? Hey, buddy home, have you seen him, my soul lover?
Hey, downtown, you seen him, my soul? Hey, you priests, have you seen him, my soul, love it? Hey, all you daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen him, my soul, love it?
I'd like to think that these little studies will draw you closer together. I got a letter the other day from Ms. Evans thanking me for these studies and implying that Dr. and Ms. Evans are a little closer. They're not close yet, but they're a little closer than they were because of these studies. They've gotten bicycles now and go bicycle riding together. They quit soul winning, but they're getting closer to each other. Now, I don't know whether I'm the guy that made them go bicycle riding together or not, but if I had a part in it, I'm so glad about that. That thrills me. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. I'd like for you fellows to go home and discover you got a friend there in the house. I'd like you fellows to go home and realize that if you had a sister, that's exactly the kind of person that you'd like to choose. And you fellows that haven't chosen yet, the first thing you look for is a good sister. Somebody that you could live with and wouldn't fuss all the time. Somebody that treats you right. I'd like to think that you look for somebody who's a friend. Friend first, sister second. You don't have to say lover third. It's on the way. It's on the way. I'd like to think that through these little discussions that you men and women here will get closer to each other. I'd like to think that maybe that's all you'd need is each other. I'd like to think that if you were on an island together, that you'd be happy just with him or just with her. I'd like to think that you have other relationships. But I'd like to think that, okay, let's take this word friend again. I've said it before. Friendship is not relationship. Husband-wife is relationship. Brother-sister is relationship. Father-son, mother-daughter, father-daughter, mother-son, those relationships. Friendship is not. Friendship is the mortar that is used of God to hold all relationships together. You're supposed to be a friend to your daughter. Cindy, our daughter, on our 70th birthday, I ought to read it to you sometime. She wrote those beautiful poems about Daddy is my buddy. We've always been buddies. It's in my office. If you come in there, I'll let you read it. Don't you come in there by thousands tonight and read that poem. But it's in my office. And she's my daughter. But she wrote a poem how that through all, as a little child, as a teenager, and now as an adult, through all the battles we've been through as in the ministry, that we've always been buddies. And that's the way it ought to be between the husband and wife. Friendship is that mortar without which every relationship in life will crumble. You'll not have a good relationship with your son or daughter unless you're friends. You'll not have a good relationship with your wife or husband unless you're friends. You'll not have a good relationship with your brother or sister unless you're friends. Because friendship is not a relationship. It is the mortar that holds all relationships together. So if you and your wife aren't getting along really well, you and your husband aren't getting along really well, I wouldn't suggest that you go home and say, okay, let's go to Lover's Lane. You might go for a miniature golf first. You might take a walk first. You might drive around out in the woods somewhere first and just happen to come to Lover's Lane. It may be that what you need to do first is become friends and love each other as a brother, as a perfect brother and a perfect sister would love each other. And that friendship, and then you can say, my spouse. But first it said, my sister. She said, whom my soul loveth. I like him. That's what it's talking about. I like him. Shall we stand, please?